Thank you, Bruce. Amy, thank you for that lesson. I'm excited for spring more now than ever. I remember we left the milkweed in the garden last year, and we had a ton of monarchs, and that's one of my favorite things. Interesting, you talked about migration. The monarch butterfly is actually like the international symbol for migration, and they use it as a means to remind people that all creatures migrate, and it's part of a natural behavior. So anyway, I thought of that as you shared that. Thanks for sharing that. So this morning, as you might have gathered, is Palm Sunday. And for us as Christians, this is our time when we begin our journey into Holy Week. And Holy Week's a really important time in the church because it is a time when we're able to remember those final days of Christ's life, from his life into his death. And then, as you know, on Easter Sunday, we celebrate the resurrection. And so this week, we're going to be walking through those stages. And Thursday is Maundy Thursday, and I want to invite you to come. We're going to do a meal, and we're going to have sort of a, you could call it a tenebrae-style service, but it's a really neat experiential service for kids and adults. It's family-oriented, and so that'll be Thursday. And then, again, on Sunday will be Easter Sunday, and we'll start with a sunrise service and then have breakfast together at 9:30 and then have our regular service time at 10:30. So I just wanted to let you know about all of that. So back to Palm Sunday. As I was thinking about the theme for the service, the idea that came to mind for me was bittersweet, and I want to start with a question. Have you ever had the experience in your life where you took something to eat, had a bite of something, or took a drink, and it didn't at all taste like you expected it to? Have you had that? You know, like the surprise Sprite that when you were thinking you were drinking water or that kind of thing. You know, that's the way I feel about grape-flavored everything. Does grape flavoring ever taste like grape? I mean, it really doesn't. I don't think anyone's perfected that. And if you have, let me know, and I want to try it. But the worst for me, in my opinion, is when you go to eat something and you're expecting it to be sweet, but it's actually bitter. I mean, this is an experience that I've unfortunately had too many times because I really like to try new things, and maybe that's happened to you. And I was thinking about stories in my life where this has happened, and one of the first ones that came to mind was when I was 7 or 8 years old, I really wanted to impress my grandpa by drinking his coffee, and he drank it black. And so I picked up the glass and had a big swig of it, thinking that it was going to be this great drink because, well, all adults drank it. And not to mention, he probably drank Folgers, so it wasn't even, like, good coffee. Sorry if you love Folgers. I'm really sorry about that. But I took a drink of it, and I ended up just, like, spitting it on the table. It was the nastiest, horrible hot water that I've ever had. And yet I drink it every day now as an adult. I don't know how that ends up happening. And I was thinking of another time when I've witnessed my kids doing this. So maybe Kelly doesn't want me to tell you the story, but she has a little stash of chocolate at the house. And so the kids know where this stash is at, and they'll go in and sneak a little bit of the candy bar. Well, Jane went in one time, and she grabs the chocolate out and takes a big bite out of it. Kelly eats 85% cacao chocolate. I don't know if you've ever had that, but it's not like milk chocolate. It's really bitter. And the look on her face was priceless. And I also thought it was ironic because she was kind of sneaking it anyway. So serves you right, I guess. Then the last story I thought of, and this one is, well, it's you'll find out. My stepbrother, when we were growing up, he found in his dad's truck this Coke bottle. And so he picked it up and took a big swig of it, and he was expecting this really sweet, good, cold drink, and it turned out to be chewing tobacco and spit. He threw up all over the place. but it was really funny to witness. So that would be an experience when you expected something sweet and you ended with something bitter. I know, you can think of it now. It's like the nastiest thing. But I think we've all had experiences like this. Maybe not the chewing tobacco one. I would say that's reserved only for a few people. But the reality is we've expected something to be sweet, and we are surprised that it was bitter. And it strikes me that the tension between bitter and sweet and how that is a part of our human story. The reality is an unavoidable fact of life is that we are going to have experiences that are both sweet and bitter. When I went through my parents' divorce as a child, that was what you would consider a bitter experience. Yet, from this bitter experience, there was some sweetness, and that was I had new siblings, and I had bonus parents. And that ended up being a sweet thing in my life. Of course, some experiences in life, though, are just bitter, aren't they? They're just not good experiences. And some experiences stand alone for themselves as being sweet. That's just the way that life works. And I've been meditating on this story that we read this morning, the triumphal entry, as it's called in Scripture. And I can't help but read this story with sort of a bitter, sweet tension. That's what this event is like. And as we're looking at it, you know, we view this story, what, 2,000 years later, we're hearing this story. So we kind of know what comes next. We have it all laid out in front of us. So naturally, it's going to be hard for us to comprehend how drastic of a shift this bittersweet experience was for the original people that were present during the time of Jesus. They experienced this shift from sweetness, this triumphal entry that went into bitterness. But then from the bitterness came a sweetness again. And that is the Holy Week story that we are celebrating this week. You know, I think in this whole story, there was only one person really clued in to the bittersweet experience that was going to happen. And obviously that was Jesus. But one of the beautiful things is how much Jesus leans into this story. He leans into this moment, this bittersweet moment, even though he knows what it's going to cost him. He knows what lies ahead for him. Yet he decides to go through with it anyway. Have you ever walked into a situation that you knew was going to be a bittersweet situation, but you did it anyway because that was the right thing and the best thing to do? That's one thing that this story challenges me with. If I knew that I was walking into a situation like Jesus did when he came into Jerusalem, would I do it? Would I be willing to do that? You know, in this story, it's not that the crowds or the disciples were oblivious. They really weren't. They just didn't see the whole picture of what was going to happen. See, they were overwhelmed with excitement because the reality is that the promised one, the one that God had said was going to come, had arrived in the holy city. This was a big event for them. Their new king had come. The new king of Israel had come. One of the things we might not realize 2,000 years later is how politically charged this situation was. This was like, you know, to the rulers of the time, here's your replacement. He's coming into town. That's how strong that moment was. And from their viewpoint, the candidate that God had chosen was finally going to take his throne. And they were ecstatic about it. Roman oppression for them was going to end. That was going to be the end of their suffering. Their king had come. So that's why they paved the road with coats. That's why they threw their coats down so that Jesus could walk through as the new king. And the people were laughing and cheering and filled with excitement. This was a sweet moment for God's people, for the disciples, and all the people that waited for their new king to come. And I think that even though Jesus was aware of the bitterness that was going to come, I think he probably savored that sweet moment too. He even knew that the rocks would cry out if the people didn't. Yet in this story full of sweetness, full of celebration, we have hints of the bitterness that's going to lie ahead. I want to read for you part of verse 37 through 40. It says, as he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. You can see right there that that's what they were expecting, a king who would bring peace. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, and this is where the bitterness starts, teacher, order your disciples to stop. Stop them from saying this. This can't be true. They did not want the people to be praising and celebrating this new king. In his answer, I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out. What Jesus was about to do was going to happen, whether the people wanted it to happen or not. See, the religious and political systems of the day, they were not going to stand for this kind of behavior, this kind of celebration of a new king. They weren't willing to release their power or their control. They were going to stop anyone that got in the way. They were going to make sure that Jesus did not take the throne. That's what they believed they were doing. So bitterness begins to invade this story that was once sweet. The entire Holy Week narrative, from Jesus' triumphal entry all the way into the resurrection, are filled with drastic shifts for us from sweetness to bitterness and bitterness to sweetness. We see the same theme all throughout the whole scriptural narrative. Scripture is full of these kinds of shifts where there's a bitter situation and then God brings sweetness into it. You know, I'm thinking of one story. The Israelites, they were in slavery. And God brings them out of slavery and takes them into the desert. And while they're in the desert, he promises them that he is going to take them out of this situation and bring them into a land flowing with milk and honey. A sweet land. But first, they had to live through the bitterness of the desert. This story happens over and over again. This flow from sweetness to bitterness, from bitterness to sweetness. This is our story too, by the way. Where there is bitterness in our lives, or where we've experienced bitterness, there is God prepared to bring sweetness. In fact, that's what God does. He takes situations that are bitter and horrible that we've gone through, and he wants to invite us out of that. But like Israel and like Jesus, we must walk through that bitterness. We have to go through the bitterness to get to the sweetness. And we have to do that in obedience. But there will be a sweetness on the other side. That's God's promise for us. So during this Holy Week, my invitation to you and for myself is to lean into the bitterness of this season. Don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid to walk through it. But also don't be afraid to lean into the sweetness, because it is also a time of celebration. I also invite us to lean into the bitterness and sweetness of our own stories. Not just this story of Holy Week, but our own stories. We all have bitterness that we've gone through in our life. We all have experiences where something has happened to us that has made us bitter, that has made us feel unloved or unwanted, that has made us feel disconnected from God. Or maybe it's something we've done. Maybe we've brought bitterness to someone else, and we need to remember that and work our way and live through that. It could even just be a thought that's entered our head towards another person. See, one of the challenges of Holy Week for us, and one of the things I'd like for us to embrace is to consider, what areas of bitterness do I need to walk through, and do I need God to carry me through in this season? I hope that as we go through this Holy Week season, that we can ask God to reveal to us those areas of our lives, that we could sit in the tension of them, and that we could ask God to reveal the possibility of sweetness, to reveal what it could look like on the other side. You might even call it resurrection, that shift into sweetness. What areas of our lives need resurrection? This Holy Week is a time for us to really reflect, to really enter into this story. And my prayer for all of you is that you would take the time and the space to walk through the emotions. I know we're 2,000 some years later, yet this story is our story too. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who desires sweetness for your children. This story, as we enter into it this week, it is filled with tension. The tension of bitterness, the tension of transitioning to sweetness. Lord, we thank you for your Son who was willing to model for us what it looks like to go through the bitterness, to go through the tension, and come out on the other side. Lord, all of us have areas in our life right now, be it family situations, be it issues with a friend, maybe past pain that we are wrestling with. All of us have that, this bitterness, this horrible taste in our mouth. Lord, help us see the other side. Give us a pathway to the other side. And in that process, like Jesus, help us to be obedient so that you might bring us into sweetness. We love you, Lord. We thank you for this week. We thank you for each other that we get to celebrate in community. We love you and pray all this in your name. Amen.